You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. We're live from the Sutherland Studios here on Football Tuesday. It's one of the last Football Tuesdays that we have to worry about without there being actual football, and we are coming. The Hall of Fame game is not that far off. We'll talk about some of the storylines circulating around the NFL. Joining us in studio, as he does every Tuesday, we have Vinny Rondinelli. Vinny, always great to get you in. Next week, we have football. We get the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Some of the rookies are already there.
Yeah.
Like, some teams have their rookies, they're practicing, and that's pretty mellow time that, you know, you don't get as many reports, but it's finally through that dead period, you know, nothing going on. It's been pretty quiet for NFL standards.
It has been.
It's been quiet.
It has been. I mean, really, outside of Brandon Ayuk, there hasn't been much to talk about. So much that I think right now the main story might be Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. And I don't necessarily want to take this the route of, okay, would you give Jordan Love this contract? Would you not give Jordan Love this contract? You said something to me when you walked in. A lot of guts on Jordan Love's end to say, hey, I'm not practicing and I'm not playing until I get my new deal. That includes preseason games. This includes any practices, anything. He's not stepping foot on that field until he gets his new deal.
And here's a one-year starter, right? And they reworked his deal last year to kind of extend it and make a better deal for him. So Packers already showed him some good faith. And so when you look at these, you always try not to be team-oriented or play-oriented. You know, what's best for everybody, because we're fans, right?
Yeah.
I was shocked. I was like, dude, 1 year?
1 year. And it wasn't even a great year.
He's a good player.
He's a good player. Right? It wasn't a great year.
Yeah, he was not the league MVP.
No, we did not sit back and marvel at Jordan Love. In fact, he got off to a slow start last year. It took a little while to get for him to find his mojo.
Yeah, yeah. They got in the playoffs and did some damage, right? But, yeah, I was kind of taken aback, like, dude, 1 year into this, you're going to demand that you're not even going to practice?
You know how you know.
I mean, what are we doing here, dude? Show up.
Yes.
And then you know they're going to, it's the Packers. They're going to negotiate. In fact, you're negotiating right now.
They're going to take care of you. Yeah. Yeah. And here's how you know that these athletes are a little kid or two. Okay, so Love took part in the entire offseason program. The team had a mandatory minicamp in June. He went. He fulfilled his requirements. He got paid $500,000 for doing that. That was in his contract. He got paid $500,000, Vinny, for fulfilling some offseason workouts and a mandatory minicamp.
So he goes to Green Bay for 3 days, gets $500,000,
yeah,
and then tells you, I'm not going to practice. And then I want to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I mean, we're not talking about right now. Would you put him in the top 10?
No. No.
He's somewhere in the neighborhood between what? High end, maybe 8 or 9, low end 15.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe he's just sitting in that 10, 11.
Now, do
area.
I think he's going to become a top 10 quarterback? Yeah, absolutely.
Is he worth the money? No. Is he going to get that money? Yes. And you know why? He's a quarterback.
He's a quarterback. Now, I will say this. You brought up a very interesting point. It's the Packers. They're going to take care of him. Okay. Now I'm going to flip to another NFC team, and we're going to talk about the Rams and Matt Stafford, who have still not paid Stafford. He's still not happy with his contract. See, here's the difference between the two franchises. I know the Packers are going to do right by Jordan Love. I don't necessarily know that the Los Angeles Rams are going to do right by Matt Stafford. And I think they have a recent history of showing this, that they don't have a ton of loyalty towards players. And maybe this is what bothers Matt Stafford. And I'm on the camp of saying, and I rarely am on this side of the camp, but I'm saying, pay him. Whatever he wants, you have to give it to him.
Yeah, and you know, you have to look at it, again, you try to just look at it and say, okay, well, am I going to be team-oriented? What's best? It's best for the NFL, and it's best for fans if Matt Stafford's playing. He's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Very underrated player, has been for a long time. But if you're the Rams, you know, there's that angle, and they have the same angle, right? Matt Stafford's, hey, dude, I got you a Super Bowl ring.
Yep.
And the Rams are going, hey, dude, I gave up a lot and gave you a lot and gave you a Super Bowl ring bringing you here. Sean McVay's going, you're not in Detroit anymore. We gave you a lot of money, and you got a Super Bowl ring out of it. Your contract isn't horrible. You're at the end of your career. You got some real injury concerns. What do you do there? You try to make common ground, right? And what's the common ground? The common ground is always, all right, you need an extra $8 million bucks. You need an extra $10 million bucks. Here's your incentives. You hit them, we'll pay you.
Well, it tells me that what Matt Stafford wants really in a new contract, though, it's not money. He wants stability.
Right.
Is what he wants. He wants to make sure he's the quarterback in Los Angeles for the foreseeable future. But I have to believe by the Rams not giving Stafford this deal that there was some truth to the idea that they tried to move on from him. And they nearly did when the New York Jets, if they had struck out on Aaron Rodgers, Matt Stafford might be a New York Jet.
And well, but you're going to have to rebuild at some point, right? And there's always that Bill Belichick thing. Remember that famous, hey, you're going to lose a guy, lose him a year early, not a year late.
Yeah, but let me tell you why that doesn't apply here, because Bill Belichick could have that logic when he had Tom Brady under center.
Correct.
And
I agree with you. I think the Rams are better with Stafford. I have no doubt. I think you pay the man. But
the quarterback room is dreadful.
Would you give him 4 years?
Yes.
You would?
Yeah.
You'd guarantee four years of Stafford?
I'd guarantee him 4 years.
I wouldn't.
Because I'm going to tell you right now.
Because he thought about retiring 2 years ago.
Yeah, but let him. That's fine. The reason why I would give Stafford 4 years, and hear me out here, when I look at where this team is going right now, they did not gut it. They did not gut this team.
No, they didn't.
Remember, a lot of people thought they were going to be awful last season. A lot of people predicted them to come in last place in that NFC West.
They did.
Okay, but this is a roster that was built to still be competitive. I'm sorry, but that quarterback room is dreadful. Jimmy Garoppolo is not a good quarterback. We've seen this over the last 2 years. Hey, he's an adequate backup, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe, right? Stetson Bennett. We haven't seen Stetson Bennett since preseason last year. Quarterback room's not great in LA. So are the Rams in the realm of being able to compete over the next 3 to 4 years? Yeah, there's a lot of young talent on this team. You know where they don't have a lot of young talent? In the quarterback room.
But a
40-year-old Matt Stafford probably gives you a better chance than anything you're going to get quarterback-wise over the next 4 years.
But is he going to be around? Is he going to be around?
I think
there's common ground here. I think it's pretty simple. If he wants a year or two added on, add it on.
Do you think it happens?
Yeah.
You think this gets worked out?
Yes, I do.
And do you think he finishes his career in LA?
Yes, I do.
Quarterback movement in today's NFL seems to be much more frequent than it's been before.
But here's a guy at the end of his career, and again, there's some common ground here. If you're looking at an extra 2 years and $8 million, throw it on there. If he does walk, you know. What's $8 million in today's cap? You know, a dead cap at $8 million. He gets you the playoffs.
They were paying the likes of Jared Goff and Todd Gurley when they won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So if it's going to cost you $8-9 million, who cares?
But are we looking at would I give Matt Stafford 4 years and $200 million guaranteed? No. No.
I don't think he wants that though.
Exactly. There's got to be some common ground here, and I think this one gets done. Cooler heads prevail. They know it. And depends on Stafford's health. There's some things maybe we don't know. Is McVay going, I don't trust that elbow, dude. I don't trust that elbow.
But again, if I'm going to compare the Packers to the Rams, I'm going to look at franchise-type players, okay? The Rams moved on from Ramsey. They had the Bill Belichick logic, and I agreed with that logic. He's a defensive back. They had that logic with Todd Gurley. They ate a lot of money to tell Gurley goodbye. I agreed with that logic. This seems to be a reoccurring theme within this organization. They did it with Robert Woods.
Mm-hmm.
They did it with Sammy Watkins. They've done it with a number of skill position players.
They will eat a cap hit. They're not afraid.
They're not afraid to do it. They did it with Leonard Floyd. They did it. Mm-hmm. He was semi-productive last season, and they still did it, right? The point I'm trying to make is the logic behind this in L.A. doesn't fit the logic in New England because you still had Tom Brady.
Correct. And that's a great point.
But Belichick could be a jerk in that realm and claim this is the Patriot way. Well, guess what? The Chiefs could do the same thing because you have Patrick Mahomes. Talk a big game if you have the right guy to lead your team.
You're dead on 100% on that. But then again, I do think there's common ground. But then again, there's always that, what do we not know?
That's true, too.
And McVay and Stafford had a heart-to-heart as McVay, you know, Stafford told him, hey, man, I ain't going to be here in 2 years. Well, then why am I going to give you all that? You're not going to be here anyways.
Yeah.
I don't believe that to be the case because I think McVay's better than having just Jimmy Garoppolo and Stetson Bennett if he didn't think Stafford was going to be around. Here's a guy that's, you know, made it work with some less than subpar quarterbacks. But, I mean, come on. Stetson Bennett and Jimmy Garoppolo are not taking the Rams to playoffs.
No, absolutely.
So it makes me seem like they probably had some talks, and I think this one gets done.
Okay, so then the other quarterback that we can talk about, because it seems like that's all we've had is quarterback talk, right? Outside of Brandon Ayuk, that's all we've had, would be Tua. Tua Tagovailoa. Okay, so if we're talking about quarterbacks that are going to reshape the market, you have Jordan Love and you have Tua. I think Dak Prescott's above both of these guys. We can agree on this, right? Dak is not, he's a higher level than Jordan Love and Tua.
Yes.
Okay,
so I agree with you on
so
that.
These guys are kind of shaping a different kind of market than Dak. You're going to have to pay. Dak may have to be one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the game. I'm not making Tua or Jordan Love one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the game. I'm not doing it.
No, and when you watch that film, I'm Tua is a good football player, right?
He's a good football player.
And we've
player,
talked
yeah.
about
yeah.
it, you know, but is he going to carry that offense? No. Is he threading the needles, making amazing throws that we see these top tier quarterbacks make?
No.
Stafford, Rodgers, Herbert, Allen, Mahomes, these guys, they make throws that make your jaw drop. Like, wow. Nobody on earth can do that. We see Tua throwing to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle running all alone, and they take the ball 60, 70 yards for touchdown. We see a lot of that. So until he shows he can carry an offense, I wouldn't pay him that much money. Would I give him an extension? Is Tua better than the options you're going to have? Sure he is. But if you're going to tell me that, you know, Mahomes is going to come in line for a new contract coming up, if he's going to get $60 million, well, Tua should be getting 45.
Okay, well, let me throw the two comparable deals out there, right? Because again, I'm putting Dak in the elite category. I have for a long time.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. I'm going to put Tua in the same category as, say, Jared Goff, Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you look at their deals, Goff got $170 million guaranteed. I think it was a $200 million deal, if I'm not mistaken. Well, I don't even remember what Trevor Lawrence got. I think it was $200 million guaranteed. I think he actually, yeah, he did. He got $200 million guaranteed. Goff got $170 guaranteed. Where does Tua fit?
Somewhere right between them. You know, Trevor Lawrence is bigger, stronger, faster. What, 2 years younger, I guess, or a year younger. I don't know. But then again, we were shaking our heads at the Trevor Lawrence deal. We put his numbers up. I mean, we had his numbers up, and they were dead on even with Gardner Minshew.
Yep.
They were dead on.
Yep.
And so, you know, and what's, you know, people are like, well, yeah, but that's apples.
It's not apples to apples.
Yes, it is. They were both Jaguars.
That's right. They were both Jaguars.
They were the same roster.
And Gardner Minshew also played within that same division when he went to Indianapolis.
Exactly.
Right.
And they're
so,
dead on. So there's always, I was thinking the Trevor Lawrence deal was too soon. And I think he's overpaid. But then again, there's always that point of, hey, pay him now because the price is going up and up and up and up and up. So I don't know. Mahomes is going to be in line for a new deal. Dak's going to be in line for a new deal. We're going to see where this goes. And I think it's going to be something we talked about a couple weeks ago was the lawsuit, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So we're going to see where the next TV contract goes, how it's worded and what that is. And then I think a point that you brought up years ago, I think the next contract for the quarterback is going to be, I get so much percent of the cap.
Yes. 25, 30, 35
percent
of the cap.
Whatever that number is. And you brought that up a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we're going next. And I think the NFL is going to shift to that where, okay, here's our next contract. There's our money. And the teams are going to go, okay, you get 20% of whatever the cap is. It's yours.
Yep. And the reason I came to that conclusion, it was when Russell Wilson signed his deal with Seattle. He accounted for 32% of the cap. And I remember thinking that was outrageous for Russell Wilson at that particular time. But then we started talking about how the cap was going to raise. And I'm like, okay, this makes perfect sense then, right, moving forward. How much can you justify giving a quarterback? Well, it's all based off the percentage of the cap. And that's what direction we're headed.
I think you're right. I think that's a great point you made years ago. And I think that's kind of where you're going to go. So I think these next couple deals are going to be, let's get them done. They'll be shorter deals, 4-year deals, 5-year deals maybe. And then by that time, hey, we got a whole new landscape. What does the NFL look like at that point?
Yeah.
Right? What's the next TV deal? What does streaming do to it? What is this lawsuit? Because you know they're going to win it. They're going to appeal and win.
You think?
Yeah, they're going to appeal and win.
Or they shouldn't.
Settle.
They shouldn't.
No, but they're going to settle.
We'll settle, yeah.
But, I mean, they're not going to pay, what was it, $8 billion? They're not paying that. You know,
it was a lot of money.
Yeah. So we'll see when this landscape shakes out, what it's going to look like. And I think it's going to look drastically different. And I think it's going to be like you said. Mahomes is going to walk up and go, all right, I'm getting 30%. They're going to say, take it. Yeah. That's your cut. But some of these guys are going to be older by then, too. We're going to be seeing quarterbacks at 34, 35 years old.
That's
they're
true.
Going to say, mm-mm, we're not giving you 5-year deals.
Hence the reason why we just had 5 taken in the first round, right?
Yep. We're going to see
a
change. We're going to have to. We're going to see that.
We're going to pause for just a moment. More coming up at Tribe Time Sports, Football Tuesday, live from the Sutherland Studios.
No sleep till!
Now, more Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
It's Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports. Live from the Sutherland Studios, Jordan Buscarini alongside Vinny Rondinelli. Vinny, during that last segment we talked about, next week we get the Hall of Fame game, August 1st, right here on KOL. We get preseason football and the Hall of Fame broadcast. It's awesome. I get more into the pregame than I actually do the game itself. Yeah. I mean, it's a cool week.
It is.
Right? And we got that itch for football. So we'll take it. But that's the additional preseason game. Some get four, some get three. So Houston and Chicago is going to get four this year. So we have that coming up on August 1st. College football is right around the corner, August 24th. Are you more excited for preseason NFL football, or do you like college football more in the month of August?
I would have to say, for me, it's still NFL preseason, and I'll tell you, it's different because I like college football, and there's some teams I like, and mostly coaches, but in the NFL, I have a team,
okay,
and I'm invested in that team, so... The preseason, we see a lot of the rookies, and these most fans don't know roster spots between 35 and 53. A lot of them don't.
That's what makes preseason fun, right? And
yeah, that part of it I enjoy.
Yeah.
Is it great football? No. No, it's not. But it takes the itch off, and it's sooner, right? I can watch two preseason games before college football even really gets going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to get preseason football, I believe, August 8th.
Yes. So... For me, I still lean toward preseason, but I am leaning more towards the college, mostly because of you. But I'm excited more about college expanding the field and some of the movement going on and these new faces. I thought the playoffs last year were fantastic. We saw some new programs. I'm excited to see. I like Steve Sarkisian. Love Kalen DeBoer. No more of my hero, Nick Saban. So some new names going on. So I'm more excited about college football this year than I have been in years past.
You know what? What you just said, as stupid as this sounds, it just resonated. That we're about to have a college football season without Nick Saban.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we know that, right?
But
it is Kalen DeBoer.
Weird,
I mean, it's DeBoer.
It's
in
DeBoer.
Alabama. It is. Yeah, when you say that, we're a few weeks away from the first college football season without Nick Saban. And, you know, right out of the gate, August 31st, we get Clemson and Georgia, which I love that matchup, right out of the gate, right? It's two heavyweight coaches. I think Kirby Smart is the best coach in the country right now.
I agree with you.
But you got Dabo, who wanted to be and was close.
He had a little run there, didn't he?
He had a little run.
3-4 years, you're looking at like, wow. And I'll tell you, I really like what Steve Sarkisian's doing. I think he's got it going on. I saw an interview and one of the way he expressed himself, and you know, Steve Sarkisian had some dark days, right?
Oh,
self-admitted,
man.
Dark days.
Oh, buddy.
And the way he expressed himself, I was like, yeah, man, that's legit. I'm a Shark fan. I'm all in with you, buddy. Kalen DeBoer, I was just fascinated by what he did with Washington last year. A couple seconds away from winning it all, man.
Yeah.
So this is a more this year than normal.
Yeah, the first weekend is going to be dynamic. So you get Notre Dame and Texas A&M. That's on the 31st. Storylines there, you got Elko, Mike Elko, now at Texas A&M. His quarterback at Duke is now the quarterback for Notre Dame.
Yeah, so correct.
This is like an NFL storyline, right?
Yeah, and Jimbo got fired.
And Jimbo got fired, which nobody shed a tear over that. Then the Sunday game, we got Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly in USC LSU in Vegas.
And which is a huge game.
It's a huge game.
And I think there's some optimism. I know there's different views on this, whatever, but I think even a few people I've talked to, I think there's some different optimism on the fact that the field's expanded now. So your team may lose a game early in the year or two. It's not over for you.
Season's not done, yeah.
You're not done.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fans are like November, like it's over. Or October, excuse me, like, oh, it's over. We're done. We're not going to the top four. We're out. We're out. We're done.
Well, and I think that...
And I think that changed some of the enthusiasm. Is like, okay, well, cool. October and November mean something now. That's cool.
It stays true here in the state of Utah. And the reason I say that is because the Pac-12 was always kind of the stepchild. It was left out of the college football playoff. And so if the University of Utah suffered a loss in October...
Done.
UTE fans were deflated. They felt like they had to go undefeated, had to win the Pac-12 championship in order to have a chance to get in.
To even be talked about,
right? And there was still debate over it. Remember, there were years where Utah was 8, 9, 10, and 0, and there was still debate on if they should get in. So I think even here in this state, that rings true, what you just said.
Absolutely. Because, they're 10-1. They're right in this thing.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to play them on a week's notice.
No.
Nobody wants to play that defense on a week's notice. Whittingham is one of the greatest defensive coaches in college football. And he gets all the credit for being the head coach, but that's his scheme defensively, right?
Mm-hmm.
He is very good at that. So I love that fact. I love the season's going to start a little earlier and last a little longer now. We don't have that giant weight because we're going to have more playoff games. I love – there's just some things about it that are different I think are real exciting. So I lean towards the NFL because, you know, I'm a homer and it starts earlier and I like to watch the scrubs play. But, yeah, college football this year is a lot more exciting than I felt in years past.
So does the new format take steam out of the early college football season? I don't believe it does.
No, because you've been waiting so long.
Yeah.
Right? You've been waiting all year. It's like, fuck, finally here. It's finally here. So you're just getting going. You're just getting juiced up. And these early games, you know, they're going to be televised. They're going to be, you know, primetime games. You got a Vegas kick game. And you're like, wow, we're really into this. And so these games start to carry meaning all the way through because now what I've always hated was the stupid preseason rankings.
Oh, I hate them.
I think that's the dumbest. That's one thing about college football. I think that's the dumbest idea ever.
Yeah.
Your first poll should not come out till 4 weeks into the year.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you.
But I think now, you know, if you're in these top 15 spots, you're right there.
If you're in the top 25, you're there.
Yeah, you're right.
To start the
really.
Preseason.
Yeah, you're literally.
You only got to jump half the field, and that's very doable because
you're going to play each other in these conference games.
That's right.
So 20 playing 7, 15 playing 5. If you win, guess what? You flopped. You're in.
That's right. That's right. So the NFL, on the other hand, I mean, I agree with you. I love looking at the roster. Like you said, you're looking at 35 men on, right? But the NFL could really enhance preseason watchability by eliminating one more preseason game. I believe that.
I agree with you on that, too. I agree with you on that, too. And we find it funny. We talked about a couple weeks ago the Joe Burrow model on the 18-game season.
Yeah.
And I'm all in.
I am, too.
I'm all in.
Yeah.
Take away one of those preseason games. Add a bye week. Start the season on the offseason a little later. They're in better shape as they go through. I think there's a lot of things that can change to help the preseason and for the NFL, the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season.
Yeah, and I don't think that the NFL has a problem with this per se. And I don't know if it would translate to the NFL, but this is the one thing I've noticed. We'll take the NBA model, for instance, right? I know diehard NBA fans that are going to watch every game. Much smaller pool of people than the NFL fans that are going to watch every game, but there are those people. Same thing with Major League Baseball. I know baseball fans that love it. They can't wait for April to roll around. But there is definitely a larger contingency of people that view the start of the NBA season at the All-Star game. There's a larger contingency of people that really start paying attention to baseball at the All-Star game. Break. And I don't know if that has to do with the fact that it's kind of the midway point. Or it's crunch time when you come out of the All-Star break, right? The NBA, they've pushed it back so far. I think there's only like 25 games left. But for a lot of people, that's when they start paying attention. The fringe fans who have lives, unlike you and I, they start paying attention at the midway point. Could football actually benefit from that?
Possibly. Remember, you have a smaller pool because even if you go to your 18 games, it's 18 versus 82 and 162, right?
That's right.
So there's a lot more volume in those others than there is football. And football is king. So I wonder about that.
Because you're right when you said that college football, we had that big gap. Nobody can convince me otherwise that the big gap in between the end of the regular season, the conference championship games, and then the little bowl games that trickle, those little bowl games are deemed meaningless because we go 3 weeks without having any football. And then on December 23rd, we have the famous Idaho Potato Bowl featuring East Carolina and, you know, Houston Christian, right? So I think that hurts college football in that realm. I really do.
I do, too. I really do. And I've always wondered why the bowls... You know, why couldn't they get in on the playoff games? Because before I was like, we'll put a playoff system together. D1 or FCS and D2, and they all do it, right?
Yeah,
we'll just
fine.
Tie your name to it. But sponsor the playoff games. They do it in the big ones.
Yeah.
Right? The college football playoff is always the Orange Bowl.
And that's the way that's the way we're doing it now.
Yeah. So tie your names to it. But yeah, I think there's, you know, definitely it would be interesting and it would be a nice change because we're seeing a lot of changes in the games to try and help. And I don't know if that's always a good thing, but we're seeing it the way we watch football, the way it starts, I mean, in all the sports, right? So maybe it would be a little bit different for just two preseason games and change the offseason format because we've talked about last 3 or 4 years. This first quarter of the season, there's a lot of bad football.
Yeah.
A lot of injuries.
Yep.
So I know those guys aren't ready.
And I think that joint practices have become such a big thing. We get into the joint practices.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they basically take up a playoff or a preseason game.
They do.
They do.
And so you can give away one of the preseason deals. Joe Burrow was right. I haven't agreed with Joe Burrow on a lot of things, but I agree with him here.
I agree with his format.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
And I love that there's the Super Bowl Sunday, the following day, is a holiday, and it should be.
Yeah.
That's a federal holiday anyway. So we should plan it around that because everybody should stay home after the Super Bowl the next day anyway. So I think it fits out perfectly, and I hope the NFL adopts that. And let's be honest, if it works out for the fan base, the NFL's going to adopt it anyways because they're in it for the money.
That's right.
And they're wonderful at advertising and marketing the NFL. They're amazing at it.
Writes itself.
Yeah.
It writes itself. So NFL still over college, but you're more intrigued by it this year.
Yeah, I am. I really am. I can say that. I think college football is going to be more interesting.
You know what I love about the new college football format? I love the idea of home games in higher seeds stadiums for the playoffs. That's yes. What I love that idea because we talk about it all the time in the NFL. If you go to Lambeau and you win a game in Lambeau in December, right, or January rather, man. You had to earn that, right?
You had to earn
That's
it.
A big upset if you can go into Lambeau. And it was the year the 49ers went to the NFC Championship. Mm-hmm. They went and they beat Aaron Rodgers in the snow in Lambeau.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. And I think because college football typically ends in November, we don't get to see those elements in the college game the way we do in the NFL. We don't get to see it.
We want to see that. We want to see that playoff atmosphere. And like you said, it was gone. I mean, everything's done by third week of November. It's all done.
Yeah.
Well, playoff football, man, that's when you're like, hey, dude, it's end of November. We're right in this now. I mean, this is literally where we separate, leaders from the followers. This is where it's getting going. And college shut it down.
Yeah, let's throw something out there. Give me a team that you go. Let's say the University of Utah is six, right? They're the sixth ranked team. I don't know. You throw whoever you want out there. Tell me Louisville is 11. They don't want to come to Utah and play in December.
No.
I don't want to be outside in Utah in December. See, and that's a different kind of home field that we've never seen in college football. We've never seen games in December in these stadiums. We know that Florida has a marked advantage in August, right? We've
seen absolutely.
They have a marked advantage in the swamp
absolutely.
In August. We've never seen Florida have to go on the road to South Bend, Indiana in December.
Yeah, and we want to see that.
I want to see that.
We want to see Brian Kelly go back.
I want to see it.
LSU, hey, you come up here and let's get it on, bud. It ain't going to be 75 degrees.
That's right.
It's going to be cold.
That's what I want to see.
I agree with football. You. And then you have that home advantage. We have the student thing going on. I think that's amazing. I'm with you on that.
That's what's going to make it interesting. Vinny, it's great to get you back in the studio.
Absolutely. It's always good to talk to you, bud.
We've got to pause one more time. We'll come back, put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. When we return, we are live from the Sutherland Studios here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.